The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you. As always, we opened up with a song about Hakeel because this year happens to be a Hakeel year, the year following the sabbatical year. We talked about this a little bit last week, and it was a subject of my e-parsha this week, which you can see on rabbifinman.com. The king would read the book of Deuteronomy to the entire populace on the Sukkot, which is next week, following the sabbatical year, and that's a big year. The Rebbe always talked about having gatherings during the sabbatical year. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be talking about Kaparis, an ancient Jewish ritual, which is done before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Tuesday night. Kaparis is done Monday night. And we're going to talk with Detroit's own Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. We have very interesting music this week. A couple of Rosh Hashanah themes. Of course, we have our klezmer music for your klezmer aficionados. We'll be ending off with Kol Nidre, which is what's sung on Tuesday night in every synagogue around the world, regardless of denomination. The portion of the week is the portion of Azino, which is chapter 32. I don't think we're going to be talking about it so much because of the upcoming Yom Kippur holiday. We have an unbelievable story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In the wake of rock-throwing attacks on the Temple Mount, only men over age 40 and women of all ages were allowed on Judaism's holiest site for Muslims' Friday prayers. Terrorists still threw rocks at police. Regardless, with all the restrictions, no one was hurt. One Arab was arrested. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu received permission from Israel's Attorney General to use snipers to target rock throwers in Jerusalem. Jerusalem police were allowed to respond to rioters with non-lethal riot control measures such as rubber-coated bullets, stun grenades, and tear gas. Omir Ohana, a 28-year-old from Israel, disappeared in Uman on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The crowd at Uman, the resting place of Reb Nachman of Breslov, attracted more than 30,000 people this past holiday. Police have no clue to the man's disappearance. Zaka and Israeli security have been brought in to aid the search. Not too far from Breslov, the memorial overlooking Baba Yar in Kiev, was the scene of an arson attack the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Vandals surrounded the brass menorah with gasoline-filled tires and set them on fire. 32,000 Jews were murdered by the Nazis in 2 days at that site during World War II. President Barack Obama will host Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House on November 9th to talk about a range of security issues, including the Iran nuclear agreement. Netanyahu will be addressing the General Assembly in D.C. on that day. You recall, last year, Netanyahu was not allowed to speak to the president when he came to the GA. Reykjavik, Iceland City Council passed a resolution banning all Israeli-made goods from entering the capital city. The move comes as the EU debates to labeling imports for Israel as being made in Israel. Iceland's foreign ministry said it does not back the boycott, but stops short of condemning it, and Iceland is now off my places to see from my bucket list. 161,081 babies were born in Israel this year. 40,636 people passed away. The most common first name for boys in the Jewish sector in Israel were Ori, Eitan, Ariel, Noam, David, and Joseph. Among the girls' names were Tamar, Noah, Talia, Shira, Yael, and Avigail. We'll now hear Rosh Hashanah greetings from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Shana tova to all of you from our eternal capital, Jerusalem. Since last Rosh Hashanah, it's become evident to all but the most bigoted and prejudiced, that Israel stands out like a beacon of progress, of modernity, of democracy and of human rights in a region plagued by fanaticism, by terror, by unbelievable savagery. I said it's become obvious to all but the most bigoted, yet we have those people who are leveling slanderous charges against the one and only Jewish state, the only democracy in the Middle East. And we have to repel those slanders. We do that together as we build our state, because we're united, proud of our past, confident in our future. And I ask you in this Rosh Hashanah to join with all Israelis, with all the friends of Israel, with the Jewish people everywhere, in wishing for a better future for the world, for the Middle East, and most importantly, for the one and only Jewish state. Shana Tova.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats, their gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Tubman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein, who's the Chabad Shliach of the Chabad House, the congregation-based Chabad of Farmington Hills. How are you today, Rabbi Bergstein?
Excellent, sir.
Good to hear. Okay, Tuesday night is Yom Kippur. Everybody knows about that. It's on every Hallmark calendar printed in America when Yom Kippur.
I didn't know that.
Yes, indeedy. Everybody knows about Yom Kippur. But people don't know about Kaparis, or if you like, Kaparot. So tell us about this Jewish ritual, if you please.
It is a ritual which people from all walks of the Jewish spectrum, from every flavor, from every type of Jew, come and participate in a process where we act as if we take a chicken, male takes a male chicken, female takes a female chicken, and we...
You're talking a live chicken.
Yeah, it's a live chicken. There's no way of telling a dead chicken whether it's male or female. But we take it and we say to God, if someone had to die because of my sins, then let the death be on the chicken. Let me take the chicken and donate it to charity, and let me live. And this is it's a catharsis. It gives the person the ability to understand that life is short, that we need to make our lives better, and that there might be a way for a person to change their ways and make it better, make their lives better.
Okay. I don't recall seeing anything about taking chickens the day before Yom Kippur in the Bible anywhere, not in the 24 books. When did people start doing this? Or were they doing it in the times of Moses in the desert? Did they have to go looking for chickens in the desert?
Probably not. This is apparently after the temple was destroyed. So people were looking for a way to, A, remind themselves of how when the temple stood, the temple activity and the service therein was a way in which the entire community was given forgiveness. And so they were looking for a way to remind themselves of that and to perhaps symbolize the need for changing one's ways. The when you look at a live thing and you see that the live thing was alive 1 second and is dead the next second, it's very, very shaking. It shakes you up because it's something that you know, people love looking at things that are alive, especially if they're things that are attracted to them for eating purposes. And so they see exactly what's going on, and they realize that just as the chicken was there 1 second, next second it's dead. So too, the same thing could happen to me. And maybe I should change my ways right this moment. And so this has a certain cleansing effect upon the consciousness of the person. The interesting thing about it is that we've been doing this here for over 25 years. And
in Detroit.
Every segment of the Jewish community is represented from different stripes, different colors, different suits, if you will. They all come together, and they enjoy it because it does have this cleansing effect upon them. And the camaraderie, the warmth of the evening is just a very, very special time.
Couldn't this be construed as animal sacrifice, which is forbidden according to the Judaism?
Well, animal sacrifices in the Torah only include cattle, sheep, goats,
doves, and pigeons,
and pigeons, but no chickens. So that's why we use chickens. We want to make sure that nobody construes us as offering sacrifices outside of the temple area when mm-hmm. the temple is destroyed. It's meant to remind us. It's a reminder. It's also a very strong psychological tool to help us with our own personal cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I used to live in Crown Heights. I think, did you ever at a time period in your life actually live in Crown Heights, Rabbi Bernstein?
I lived in Crown Heights many years.
Many years ago. Okay. I recall as a younger man when I was first married, and I was living in a flat in a house.
That was a century ago. That was the last century.
Yes. I lived there in 1983. Thank you very much.
Yes, okay.
Anyway,
right.
So, but I recall there was an alleyway that ran behind the houses. And remember finding these chicken bones in the alley, which had been burnt and they were arranged in some kind of a pile. And as I was walking by, I was looking at it saying, that's pretty strange to see that there. And there was a black woman who was coming towards me. She looked at the pile too, and she said, oh, that's Haitian voodoo. So couldn't this Kapara's business be construed? I mean, people say it's Darche Amori. It's the things like the Amorites did, and it's, you know, maybe some kind of voodoo thing over here, and we're trying to throw our sins onto the chickens. So clarify that, please, Rabbi Bergstein.
You don't throw your sins into anything.
I tell people like it should be so easy.
Yeah. No, you can't put your sins to anything or any person. There is no transfer of sins in any way, no magical way. Sins are transferred and transformed through a person's own heart. A contrite heart can transform all of one's sins in one instant. There's a very famous story. A mafiosa saw this nice Jewish girl, and he wanted to marry her, and she only wanted to marry a tzaddik, a perfectly righteous person. Says, okay, I'll marry you on condition that I'm a perfectly righteous person. And the question came before the rabbis, and they said, well, she may be married for maybe at that moment he thought to change his ways. And you see from there that if we knew that he had changed his ways in his heart, at that moment he was considered a perfectly righteous person, because it is the heart that determines the status of a person. And when a person is contrite and truly is repentful before God, then his sins are forgiven.
Okay, so why do we need Kaparsa before Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur does that. We could just go straight into Kol Nidre and people fast and make a big thing out of fasting.
It's a tremendous psychological tool. It helps us focus. It helps us with this idea that we got to do things quickly because we don't know what's going to happen the next moment. It has a tremendous, it has the same similar psychological effect as when a person brought a sacrifice. So when you see a sacrifice, you were focused on it, you saw what was going on, it has the power to tell the person and to bring it into full view that life is short. In any moment, we can just be like that dead carcass. And so it's time to to make our ways better. So that's the ability that it has. It's only a helpful tool. Obviously, the most important thing is the heart and our deeds. Our deeds are more important because the proof of our heart is what we do. We can all cry about the hell, about people who are poor, but the proof of the pudding that we really care about them is when we go ahead and we help them.
Okay, this show goes out past the greater Detroit area. People listen to it on the web.
Okay.
Somebody's out there in internet land, and they're not near any type of a Chabad house or a slaughterhouse where they're going to be offering this custom of doing the Kaparis service. So what alternatives do they have? Can they go to, say, like any chicken market? I see there's live chicken markets all over the place now. Just go to a live chicken market and say, can I borrow a chicken and give it back to them?
What's the purpose? The purpose is, you can say that, but the custom was to have it slaughtered and to give the meat to poor families. That was the purpose. It would then be preferable if the person doesn't have a ritual slaughterer available. It would be preferable to take money, the value of the chicken, and to use that as his kapara, as his exchange, and to give it to charity. That would be probably better than just going through the motions of dealing with live chicken. The purpose of doing with the chicken is that the psychology that this chicken is going to be dead and it's going to be slaughtered, and I'm going to go ahead and give this to charity for charitable purposes, that has a much deeper power. But just to give it back, I don't see that. I mean, there might be some value to it, but I don't see it as being as strong as giving the money to charity.
Okay, where would one find the what one says for kaparos, the kaparot?
You find it actually in most of the books of liturgy called the machzer. Machzer means something which is reviewed from time to time, and you'll find the prayer right at the beginning of the what is called the machzer, the prayer book, especially for Yom Kippur. It's a very, very ancient custom. In fact, if you can look it up in the code of Jewish law, the concise code of the Jewish law called the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it may possibly be the largest paragraph in the entire book concerning the various details of the custom. But you can find the text in the Machzer, in this prayer book for Yom Kippur, right at the beginning.
Okay. Now, there is Kaparis, which is done in Detroit. We're not going to give out details, but if anybody is interested and would like to participate in this Kaparis ritual, who is Jewish, I would suggest contacting me at rabbifinman.com, and I will pass along the details of how to get in touch with the powers of be who are in control or who are running this operation. In Detroit, it's been very unmuch with the wire, but in New York, it's Kaparis is on the front page of the New York Post, which that doesn't take
because
a lot
of the wonderful tree-loving PETA people, and they are, of course, more interested in the lives of animals than they are in the lives of people. The philosophy there is a boy is a cat is a worm, is a cockroach, is an ant, whatever it is.
Is an amoeba, so yes.
The life of a human being is the equivalent of any other life. And, of course, we don't, not only do we agree with that, it leads to horrific consequences. When the Palestinians blew up a donkey and caused death and destruction to human beings, the PETA people protested the use of the donkey. They didn't protest the fact that people were killed, but the donkey shouldn't have been used. I mean, the sickness of the people is remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's spend a half a minute. You have a little bit of time. Let's talk about the sanctity of human life and utilization of animals for our good. I mean, Jews do eat meat. It's prescribed at certain times when you're supposed to eat meat. What about vegetarianism and veganism? And is there anything wrong with being a vegetarian?
There's nothing wrong with being a vegetarian per se, except that anything that has no freedom of choice just lives and exists and has no real divine purpose to it. It doesn't do anything good except exist. The purpose of our existence is to raise the world to a higher consciousness, to a higher purpose. The reason why we're here is to do good upon this world and raise this world from its physicality to a connection with the Almighty God. You can only do so through a human being who has freedom of choice and is aware of God. No animal is aware of God. No animal will enter an animal synagogue or an animal church and pray. The only way we can elevate the animal is by utilizing the animal for the service of God. And so when we eat the flesh of the animal, we're taking the animal, that part of the animal that we eat and we absorb, and we're taking that and elevating it to a connection with the Creator. And that way we're not only elevating the mineral and the vegetable, we're also elevating the animal part of the world, the animal part of the kingdom, and the human part of the kingdom in the service to God and bringing the whole world to a higher state of consciousness. By not eating flesh of animals, we're actually denying them the opportunity of being elevated to a higher place. And that's part of the divine plan. The divine plan is that everything should be included in godliness, in holiness.
But if you're just joining us, we're talking to Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein of Farmington Hills Chabad. And we're talking about kapparas and related things. What about, on the other hand, a person is not allowed, it's even one of the seven commandments of Noah, is that a person, a human being, is not allowed to be cruel to an animal.
That is correct.
Wouldn't slaughtering an animal be considered cruel?
If a person is hunting for sport, that is being cruel to animals. If a person is hunting in order to feed one's family, that's not being cruel. That's part of the survival. That's the way God has made us. God has made the conditions of the world that things eat other things. Animals eat other things, and human beings can and do eat other animals. Human beings eat animals in order to survive, in order to become healthier. That's the way God has made it. And the reason why God made it that way is because ultimately this process of eating is to be sanctified by the intent of man to live for a higher purpose, and in the process elevates everything that the person uses in the process of living. So each human being is endowed by their Creator with the opportunity of making this world a better world, all of the world a better world. If you do not use the animal, if you do not elevate the animal, you're really bringing harm to that part of the animal world.
Okay.
Purpose.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up. Again, if anybody has any questions about doing kaparos or kaparot in the Detroit area, contact me at www.rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com, and we'll put you in touch with the powers that be, and you'll be able to participate in kaparos this year, too, before Yom Kippur. Rabbi Bergstein, thank you very much. I want to wish you a gemar chasima tova. You should have a happy and a sweet year.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Feman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. This is normally the place where we play some kind of like modern type song, but I have a parody song, which I thought was really cool. And since I'm going to play another parody later, so we're going to do two parodies. This is Erez Cohen doing Apples and Honey Are Good, and it's just for Rosh Hashanah.
Apples and honey are good. Wanna tip another, but I probably should not. I got so many at home. Oh. It's been a long, long year. The Jews everywhere. Now the holiday season is in the air. I'm singing like I can't wait for the New Year feast tonight. Cause in 10 more days, we won't eat a bite. Yom Kippur like, oh, baby, oh, maybe. Gustav is here, right, baby. My king has already got all of my love. So apples and honey are good. Wanna dip another, but I probably should not. I've got so many at home. And if I stay, I might just eat them all. Apples and honey are good. Wanna dip another, but I probably should not. So I've got a bit of a do. May your year be sweet and fail. Now check it out. I've got God and he's got me. So I'm throwing my sins to the fish in the sea. Thinking like, oh baby, oh maybe. I've got no more wrongs. Maybe my king has already got all of my love. So apples and honey are good. Wanna dip another, but I probably should not. I've got so many at home. And if I stay, I might just eat them all. Apples and honey are good. Wanna dip another, but I probably should not. So I've got to. May your year be sweet and new. Sweet and new. Sweet and new. Sweet and new. Oh, the all dressed up in white. Good, wanna tip another, but I probably should not. I've got so many at home, and if I stay, I might just eat them all. Apples and honey are good, wanna tip another, but I probably should not. So I've got a bit of a do. May your year be sweet and apples and honey are good, wanna tip another, but I probably should not. I've got so many at home, and if I stay, I might just eat them all. Apples and honey are good, wanna tip another, but I probably should not. So I've got a bit of a do. May your year be sweet.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Now, for the you klezmer fanatics, this is a new group. It's called the Naya Kapelia, which means the new group. It's called a tanz, which means a dance. Let's listen in. Thank you.
Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman, you're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got a PSA for you coming up right here. Sunday, the 7th of Tishrei, September 20th. That's today. There will be a Hakel, a grand Hakel gathering. Remember, we said at the onset of the show that this year, following the sabbatical year, is a time for Jews get together for inspiration and thought. So there will be such a gathering today at 12:30, which is a half hour after the show is, and it will be at, it's going to be 12:45 to 2 p.m. at the Lubavitcher Yeshiva Harry and Wandel Zekelman Campus, 15151 West 10 Mile Road. Again, that's at the Yeshiva, the Lubavitcher Yeshiva on 10 Mile, which is basically, you could just say, east of Greenfield. Well, it says men, women, and children will participate to in this momentous event, adding presence and impact to the worldwide community. So please incorporate the significant event into your Tishrei schedule. So go there today at 12:45. And if your organization is having an event and you would like to have it presented here absolutely free of charge, send the information to www.rabbifinman.com. And we'll put it on the air for you. And that's what we do. That's why we're here. Coming up next is Schlockrock and Maccabees doing one of Schlockrock's actual classics, and that's Minion Man.
Sun was slowly setting on the bay. It was 6 o'clock on a summer Friday afternoon. Shabbos was an hour town, wondering what to do. Shabbos is no time to be feeling blue.
Then I saw
a man who looked the same way too. I was quite relieved to find the fellow Jew. I asked the man I saw how many Jews in this town. He said to me there used to be a minion around, but one of us passed away and we've been feeling down. Yet now it seems as though another Jew has been found. Won't you stay with us for Shabbos, Minion Man?
We walked down Winston Avenue a block then two more. Went into a shop that red closed on the door.
There was a minion in the back of a hardware store.
Nine men waiting for one more.
We ushered in the Shabbos with a beautiful song. The chazan had a voice that was clear and strong. He sang out as one all Shabbos long. And Marin came again, I had to be moving on.
I asked the man I saw how many Jews in this town. He said to me there used to be a minion around, but one of us passed away and we've been feeling down. Yet now it seems as though another Jew has been found.
for Shabbos Minyan Man.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman, you're here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, in the synagogue on Saturday, we'll be reading the portion of Hazinu. I strongly recommend that you spend some time looking at Parshas Hazinu. It is by far the deepest portion in the entire 5 books. In fact, there was a Rebbe who lived in the mid-1800s, who said, how deep is the portion of Hazinu that the name of every Jew who had ever lived, who ever will live, is actually contained in chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, and he went and proved and showed, he called on various individuals and he showed them how their name was in that parsha. So it's really pretty heavy. And it says that a person who learns the portion, who learns chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy daily, it's a conduit to have a person's livelihood increased. In Hebrew, a segula for parnassa. So it's really pretty heavy-duty stuff. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Yom Kippur. Or let's just say we've already just finished talking about Hazinu. We're going to talk about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Tuesday night, Wednesday. It is considered the most solemn day on the Jewish calendar, but it's not a mean day. It's not we're not afraid. It is called the days of awe. But the fear is not, I better fast or I'm going to get punished. No. It's more, I'm afraid that what I did this year is having a negative effect on the relationship that I have with the Almighty. And I want to do something really good about that. That's why a part of it is there's the Vidoy, the confession prayer, where there's listed, I don't know how many different things are listed in there, all the things a person could do wrong in the course of a year. It's all listed and we confess them. If I did this one, if I did that one, and Rabbi Bergstein's touched on this. He says, what does it take for a person to do tshuva? The word tshuva is incorrectly translated as repentance. The word tshuva means to come home, to come back. So whereas repenting, what does a person have to do to repent? Oh, there's whole treatises written on that, probably from every philosophy that exists under the sun, on how to repent. As far as to come back, that's very easy. If you're going out and you want to come back, all you have to do is turn around, and voila, you're coming back. That's what Yom Kippur is. What Rabbi Bergstein was referring to with a person getting married, he didn't really go into time to explain it because it wasn't the time for it. But if a wedding has preconditions. If those conditions are not met, the wedding is not a wedding. For example, if a couple gets engaged, the intent there is that they be married. And this man proclaims himself to be wealthy. And they go through the whole thing and it turns out that, no, he's a poor guy. The wedding is annulled. It's nothing. They don't have to get a divorce. They don't have to do anything. Similarly, if he claims that he was poor and he happens to be rich, she didn't want to marry a rich man, have to deal with all those lavish parties and whatnot. Even something is if he can, makes a precondition, she says to him, for example, I will marry you if your name is Yosef. And he says, fine, his name is not Joseph, it's Jacob. Close. Sorry, they're not married. But if she says to him, I will marry you only on condition that you are a perfectly righteous person. And he says, I am a perfectly righteous person. They're married, even if later on it turns out that he's less than perfect. Why? Because it could have been that at that moment that he made that declaration that I want to be a perfectly righteous person, that the Almighty at that point says, fine, good. We're considering you a perfectly righteous person. At that moment, he was perfectly righteous. Because what does it take? What is it that was repentance? What do we have to do? Well, it's basically it's two things. It's remorse on any misdeed we may have done in the past, and resolve to do better in the future. Once a person has done that, then the person's misdeeds are considered like merits. If he did it from a sense of feeling of wanting to get closer to God, that means person did something wrong. There are 365 possible things in the Jewish litany of things to do wrong, and he did one of them. Now he feels remorse and he wants to resolve. He's never going to do it again. And this now acts as a springboard to get him closer to God. So the act, the misdeed itself, is what's bringing him closer to God. A person can't say, however, you know what? I'm going to go do something wrong and I'll regret it later and I'll get closer to God. No. God closed that one already. He said, nope, sorry, I'm not accepting that one. That's, you know, what a person would need to do at that point is feel remorse for having said, echta ve'eshuv, having remorse of saying, I'll sin and repent later. That he's having remorse on the fact that he even said such a thing. Then, okay, God says, okay, because there's nothing stands in the way of a person's desire to come back. And the Almighty says, there is nothing that stands between me and the Jewish people, and the tshuva that they do. This is what we're trying to accomplish on Yom Kippur. It's really easy. It's just one day. People get nervous because you're not eating for 25 or 26 hours. No food, no water, no brushing teeth. Wow. It's really not a big deal because on Yom Kippur, we become angelic. Angels don't need to eat. So on Yom Kippur, if we do eat, we didn't need to eat. Of course, there's provisions. A person's sick and they're going to die if they're not going to eat. So then, of course, we let the person eat. You know, but we've got one over the angels even. Because people are called mahalchim. They're called goers, movers, and shakers. Angels are called oimdim. They just stand. Every angel that was created since time began, they're all in the same place. People progress. They become better. So even though it is that we come to the synagogue for Kol Nidre on Tuesday night, and we're in the synagogue for the morning prayers, the additional prayers, the afternoon prayers, the Ne'ilah prayers, the concluding prayers, and we're saying this confession, you may have noticed, if you were there last year, it's exactly the same thing as last year that we said. But the Almighty doesn't care, because the Almighty, you might say, in this point, lives in the moment. The Almighty's above time. You could have been coming to shul for 110 years, saying, I'm sorry I did the same thing every single year. The Almighty says, okay, because I'm looking at it right now. What's happening right now? Like, as in, what for you? What have you done for me lately? So with that, we can wish you all a happy and a healthy Yom Kippur. We don't have to worry about anything, because God will take care. It's, after all, He's the one doing the atonement. When we say Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, God's doing the atonement. It's His show. Speaking of shows, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, www.rabbifinman.com. You go there, you go to the contact page, it's right on the homepage. You contact me if you have a question, a comment, a query, a critique. Oh, I love it when people say, Rabbi Finman, I don't like the way you did such and such, because then I correct it and I don't do it anymore. Somebody once commented that I talk way too fast when I talk on the radio. It's really hard for them to understand me when I talk, but I've since learned how to slow down, yes, so that I don't sound like Cousin Brucey, if you remember him. You remember Cousin Brucey, Ben? No, I'm talking about Bruce Morrow. He was a channel, WABC New York. He prided himself on being like the fastest talker on the radio, okay, which really doesn't take very much, because really, when you're talking on the radio, you have to talk much slower than you normally do, because if you talk normal, it sounds like you're talking really fast. So all this radio dudes, we put on our radio voices, so it's like we're talking to what us seems like a standstill. If I was talking any slower, I'd be talking backwards. Anyway, so that's it. Get in touch with me, rabbifinman.com. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, and which are misses of yours truly. You find classes there. My classes are ongoing and very interesting, very deep stuff. And the very important donations page. We're still hoping to get September together. It's not as close as I had hoped it to be. We're already up to the 20th of the month. We got 10 days left in September. No, I'm not worried, but we need you to step up. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Make a donation, any amount that you'd like. And it will be gladly accepted. If you do it before Yom Kippur, then, you know, it goes into your merit for helping out a charitable institution, because we are, after all, recognized by the United States government, the IRS, and the Almighty as being a valid source for your charity, for your tzedakah. Do it today. Don't delay. Don't like using the internet? I can understand. Send your donation in any amount in an envelope with a stamp on it to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. This story I recently heard. I have a good buddy by the name of Yossi Gordon, who is a teacher in Melbourne, Australia. And in his spare time, since 1985, he has had a hobby, and his hobby is called Tasmania, which, comparably speaking, would be like me saying the UP. It's like way up there and there's nobody there. Tasmania is an island off the coast, southern coast of Australia. It's about the size of the state of New Jersey, except it's square. So it's like really easy to get to any place. So he goes there, and he would spend Rosh Hashanah there and does all kinds of stuff. Now his son is actually the Chabad rabbi in Launceston, which is the second largest city, and has a Chabad house and everything. In 1970, he was there. There were about 30 people in the synagogue, the oldest synagogue in the Southern Hemisphere. Yes, indeedy. I was there. I visited the place. And after the services, everybody was invited over, those who did, to the people who are the head of the community, Yael and, Penina, and her husband's name escapes me right now, Clark, it'll fit into my head. If you're in visiting Tasmania, you have to look up the Clarks of Hobart. Quite a wonderful family. Rabbi Gordon calls them the Abraham and Sarah of Tasmania. So he said, let's walk down the main street instead of taking the straight way, because maybe we'll find another Jew. And they said, this is Tasmania. You basically know every Jew that's here. He said, you never know. He says, well, how are you going to find a Jew on the street? And he said, any Jew will find me. So they're walking down. As they got to the place where they had to turn to go to the Clark's house, he said, I'm going to go to the hotel for a little bit. And he went to the hotel, but he got lost in something and he was doing something. And he saw it was very late. And he started running to the Clark's house. On the way, somebody stops him and says, Shana Tova, good year in Hebrew. So the guy stops and says, you're Jewish. He says, yeah, I'm Jewish. He says, tell me, is there a synagogue around someplace? He says, well, there is a synagogue, but services are over. But if you come to me, to the Clark's house, I'm blowing shofar for people who could not get to the synagogue this morning. So it's wonderful. So they're walking back. So they're talking. He introduces himself. He says, my name is such and such. He says, what's your name? He says, my name is Yossi Gordon. And he says, you're obviously an American. Where are you from? He says, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. The man stops in his tracks. He says, do you know Shalom Bear Gordon? And he looks at him and says, how do you know my father? This gentleman says, my father was instrumental in bringing your father to be the rabbi of the synagogue. I was in the first Hebrew school class that your father taught. And when I was thinking, and says, at my bar mitzvah, I promised your father said to me, you have to take on a mitzvah that you're going to do for your whole life. And he suggested I put on tefillin every day. So I told him, Rabbi, I'm not going to put on tefillin every day. It's too much of a commitment. So we thought about it and it was decided that I was going to hear shofar blowing once a year. I said, once a year, I can guarantee. So here it is. I'm touring around with a bunch of people and we came to Tasmania. And it occurred to me that today is Rosh Hashanah. It will have been the first time in my life that I did not hear the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I felt really very bad. So I asked the hotel clerk, and he says, well, he's heard about a synagogue. He says, maybe go look out in the street. Maybe you'll see somebody. He says, so I walked out, and as I'm walking down the street, I see somebody coming to me who looks like my old Hebrew school teacher coming to blow shofar for me, because they look alike, the father and the son, at least when they were 40 years apart like that. The divine providence is just too ironic. So what happened after that? Well, they all lived happily ever after, which is what I hope for you also. That'll do it for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a meaningful and an easy Yom Kippur, and that you're written and inscribed in the Book of Life for a happy and healthy new year. And we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Hi folks, Alan Thick here. You know, some things in life are just too serious to take chances on, and owing money to the IRS is definitely one of those. The IRS has the